Good morning.
Good morning.
You don't have to rush. Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. And most of you know who I am, but I'm Elizabeth. And we are kind of doing things a little bit different today. Jason is out. He is sick. Do you have any update on him?
Not great. I mean, he's getting better,
okay.
But it's just kind of dragging out.
Okay.
So it's just rough.
Lots of prayers. So, because we have a busy week coming up, I will start with the announcements. Online prayer requests. If you are watching us from home or wherever, just please email your prayer request to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com. Or if you're sitting here, you can do that as well. And we will call those out at the end of the service. And then Jenkins Kids is going to be with Suzanne and Amy. So, and then child care will be with myself and Joy if anybody comes in. And we'll get that taken care of. We have a busy week coming up, a very good week, starting of Holy Week on Wednesday. We have Bible study at 6 p.m. Hopefully, you'll be good to come back and do that. Still talking about where does our faith come from, about the history of the church. And then Thursday is Maundy Thursday service at Rocky Glade CP. It starts at 7 p.m., but be there about 6:45. And I'll talk a little bit about what Maundy Thursday is if anybody does not know, because I still am learning every year about Maundy Thursday. And then let me know, and then I will also let Jason know how many are going to be attending, because we need to let Rocky Glade know. But for me, I love Christmas more than anything, but this Maundy Thursday service that I go to is my absolute favorite night of the year. It's just very uplifting, and just, it's a wonderful time. So let me know by the end of the service or today, and we'll get Jason to get the number. And then on Friday, we have Good Friday service that's going to be here at 6 p.m. as well. And then Easter Sunday, we're going to have worship service and communion at 10:15. And then there will be an Easter egg hunt immediately after. I will send out some information, and we will get out some information to help with that as well. And if you have any questions, just let me know, and I'll get you to the right people. And then the Sunday after, on the 27th, we will have Bethel's Renaissance Choir. And if you have never heard it, yeah, it is worth every minute that you sit there to listen to it. It is fantastic. You leave just renewed and refreshed, and it's a great time. So please be here on the 27th to welcome Renaissance and to listen to them. And then this is a picture yesterday from our flower arranging class. Cindy Noel had to finish mine because I still cannot arrange flowers, even with somebody telling me how. But it was a great time. Thank you for those who gave food. And we just had a good time fellowshipping and making beautiful bouquets. So everybody's very talented in this room. I was very like, okay, now I know who to go to. So, and then for the women's banquet, I did send a text out to all the women. But we used to have a mother-daughter banquet, and then we changed it to a mothers and others. But not everybody is a mother. We're all mothers to somebody, but I have just decided, kind of going against my mother, about calling it a women's banquet. So it will be Mother's Day weekend on Saturday the 10th. It's going to be 6 p.m. here at the church. It is going to be $10. You will get a meal, dessert, drinks, and everything. So usually we do potluck, but this year we're just going to cater. But if you are interested in coming and inviting any of the women, the special women in your life, just text me or email or let me know if you're coming, and the names of the people that are coming by the 27th. And then, so that's 2 weeks. And then all of the monies will be due on the 4th. So if you have any questions, just send me an email or a text. And Suzanne and I are very excited about the theme and just the decorations. And we're just, just to get all the, yes.
If you have any interest in helping out,
yes,
we would love your assistance.
Yes. So if you want to help, let us know. I've already got a few people in mind. So, and then we are going to shower Hannah Wilker Marsalis and Reagan Hardy Stinnett. I can never get her name right. Hannah is having their very first baby, a baby girl, in June. And if you want to do gift cards, I have their baby link. I think it's a private link because we could not look it up. But I can text that to you that has her registry. And then Reagan is going to have her second baby boy in May. And they have requested just diapers and wipes. And we'll have a special place set up for you to bring gifts in the lobby. So, are there any other announcements? When the music starts, if you would please all bring your palms up and lay them at the altar. And let's just prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Good morning, church. This is Palm Sunday, and I invite you to, as we prepare our hearts, to just close your eyes for a moment and think back on what that morning of the first Palm Sunday looked like. Quiet morning, nothing going on, streets are empty, but Jesus is preparing to come. So think about that as we begin this song.
Thank you.
the call to worship. Let us come, not as spectators, but as participants in the story of Jesus. Let us worship him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Let us raise our voices in praise and our hearts in devotion as we journey with Jesus through this Holy Week.
Let's bow our heads. Loving God, on this Palm Sunday, we rejoice in the triumphant arrival of our King, Jesus, into Jerusalem. We join the crowds in welcoming him with palms, celebrating the fulfillment of prophecy and the promise of salvation. As we remember his humble entry, we also look forward to the sacrifices he will make for us. Help us to embrace the spirit of joy and hope and to follow him faithfully, even through the path of the cross. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing All Glory, Laud, and Honor. This is, again, Palm Sunday. It's a time to praise God. He's coming as King. He's coming but also at the same time as a sacrifice for us. So let's sing joyfully about this. All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 173 in the hymnals.
Thursday, but Thursday we call Maundy Thursday, and everybody asks me when I tell them I'm going to a Maundy Thursday service, what is it? And I always explain it's like the Last Supper, but it's celebrated in remembrance of the Last Supper when Jesus introduced communion and then washed the disciples' feet. From John 13:5, after that, Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. For Jesus to wash the feet of the disciples demonstrated an incredible amount of love, humility, and servanthood. Sometime later, following this act, Jesus established what is now referred to as communion. And from Luke 22:19-20, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out to you."
As we look into Holy Week, we are hopefully reflecting on what it all means to us, right? Jesus' death, it was for a purpose. It was not just something that happened that put a terrible end to the story, but there was a purpose behind it, and that was the forgiveness and forgiveness of our sins and the ransom of our souls. And Jesus did that through grace, and that is what we sing about now. Grace that is greater than our sin, how beautiful is that? Join with us as we sing number 201 in the hymnal.
Thank you.
We have Suzanne and Amy taking Jesus' kids. If y'all were in here a little bit earlier, he was waving his palm and shouting Hosanna, and it was just the best thing you could ever see. So, for our offering, we have many ways that you have given already to the church and may give. We have the box in the back, online, or you can mail a cash and check. And as Jason talks about all the time, how many wonderful things just even giving ourselves of ourselves to the church to serve is also an offering to do God's work as well. So, and now we're going to have special more.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Maury Anderson, and I have been to your church a few times, and I'm presently occupying space next to Nancy Bean, whose son is your pastor. Nancy's a great gal. And so let me just tell you about myself for just a couple moments, and we'll read the scriptures then. I am from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I attended seminary in Bethel Seminary in St. Paul, and then I was ordained a minister in 1973 in the Pittsburgh Baptist Association, where I was serving a church. And I served churches in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Davenport, Iowa, Pueblo, Colorado, and then finally, after 40 years of ministry, I finished up in Battle Creek, Michigan. So I moved down here 10 years ago to be with my daughter. We've reached that time of life when I might need some help. So I needed a daughter who could grab things and get at it. And so she's a real goer. And so I lost my wife 3 years ago. She died of heart failure. And so it's been a new road for me to travel. And I've gotten to know Nancy during those 3 years. And we've spent some time together in the last year, I guess, or a little more than a year. And I've really gotten to enjoy her. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm a Baptist in background, an American Baptist, and people say, well, what's what's an American Baptist? Well, there used to be a Northern Baptist and a Southern Baptist. And the Civil War split us up. We were just Baptists then. And then, you know, there was a Northern Presbyterians and Southern Presbyterians and so forth down the line. Well, we never came back as just one group anymore. But there's about a 1.5 million American Baptists in the country. And even one day as I was driving up to the hospital to see my wife, I noticed a sign. Is it Skyline? Is that correct? Skyline? I suppose. And as I was going up, I saw this green sign. You know, it says, well, such and such a street or whatever. And it said American Baptist College. Well, I about fell out of my driver's seat, because I didn't know we had an American Baptist college down here. But in 1926, they established that school so that African American pastors could receive education and go into the ministry. We shared that ministry with the Southern Baptists for about 50, 60 years, and then they pulled out, but we still maintain that. So if you're ever going up the hill there towards Skyline, keep your eyes peeled, because there's a little bit of my denomination right here in town. But I'm happy to be with you today. And I want to share scripture with you because we're going to talk about the three temples of God this morning. The three temples of God. And the scripture comes to us from 1 Peter. And some of you may be familiar with this text. 1 Peter. Here they are. I need glasses to read. Starting with verse 4. And God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be in effect at the times we've reached this fulfillment, to bring all things together in heaven and earth, together under the one head, Christ Jesus. And then one more text I want to read to you from 2 Peter, 1 Peter, in the second chapter. We read, as you come to put the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, You also, like living stones, that's you and I, also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a temple, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then just a little bit later, in verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were no people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So I want to talk about the three temples of God. You know, we talk about God today and we say, well, what is God like? And where does God exist? And where is he in the world? People are asking these questions all the time. And I particularly like that little children have unique ways of asking this question. And so in Stillwater, Oklahoma, the pastor received a note from 10-year-old Michelle. And Michelle wrote, "What is God's telephone number? I would like to call him when I'm not feeling so good about things." And then in Pensacola, Florida, Edgar, age 8, wrote his pastor. He said, "Dear pastor, I'd like to write to God. Could you please tell me his zip code?" Well, children have a wonderful way of putting things, don't they? But here we have this question raised by kids. Where is God? What is God like? Well, I'm going to refer to his three temples this morning and see if we can apply it in our own lives. The first temple of God was built by Solomon up on what's called Mount Zion. For 400 years, Solomon's temple stood there, made of hewn stone and cedars inlaid with gold and silver, the Holy of Holies. It was a very special place where people could come and chant their psalms, make their sacrifices for the forgiveness of their sins, where they could meet one another in God's temple. For 400 years, that temple stood. That's a long time, 400 years. You go back to the landing of the Mayflower at Plymouth Rock, that's about 400 years ago. 400 years, there was that temple. And then, you know, the Babylonians tore it down. But less than 100 years later, they built a second temple. And that temple on Mount Zion is where God went to be with God, or where people went to be with God. They came in there offering their praises, their psalms, their seeking of forgiveness. And once a year, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, where there are the wings of seraphim. And God dwelt in that Holy of Holies. And the priests wore very special outfits, very cleansed themselves once a year and sought forgiveness, interceded like a priest, interceded for the people of God. It was a very, very, 900 years Israel turned to the temple. There was a second temple. Not only the one that Solomon built on Mount Zion, but there's a second temple, and it was the body of Jesus Christ. God moved out of the temple, and he moved into the body of Christ for 33 years. He was the temple of God, the living temple. What's really unique and wonderful about this is he fed the hungry. He healed the sick. Through the body of Jesus, God announced the forgiveness of sins. He moved out of the temple of stone and into the body of Jesus, the new temple. We got these beautiful words that come to us from the first chapter, verse 14 of John's Gospel. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. God did something new. We call it the New Testament, the New Covenant. He moved into Jesus and He dwelt with us. He was so close we could hear Him teach, and some did. He was so close that people could touch Him, and they could hurt Him, which they did. Jesus is the temple of God. And one day, you know the story, in John chapter 2, He enters into the temple and He sees that they've turned it into a mercantile business. And it really upset Him. It's the one time in the scriptures where He does something really violent. He takes and He turns the tables over, the coins and all that goes scattering across. And the Sadducees who ran the temple said, "Well, who are you?" And then Jesus said, "You will have this temple destroyed, and in 3 days it'll be raised up." Well, of course, they're sitting there saying, "Well, it took 50, 60 years to build this temple." But Jesus was talking about His body, this temple of God called Jesus. More people come to God through Jesus. Well, there's a third temple. Now, this one, not only the temple on Mount Zion for 900 years, and then the temple of Jesus' body for 33 years, but this third temple, well, if you're awake and listening, this is a surprise. Boy, this is delegation on a scale that we could never imagine. You, folks, are the temple of God. You and I, we are the temple. And we come and we say, "Well, I thought I was just a spectator here." No, no. People are looking to you and to I. And they're looking for God, and God is dwelling in His people. Paul says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Paul wrote that to an unruly church in Corinth. In seminary, we used to kid each other, "Who wants to be the pastor at First Baptist Church in Corinth?" They had a lot of problems. But Paul is dealing with them, and he says, "You guys, with all the problems you have, you are the temple of God in the world." But we're talking about delegation. That's a big delegation. There is a progression, isn't there? God revealed in stone, God revealed in a man, Jesus, and God revealed to the world through you and I. That's quite a delegation. That's profound. That's overwhelming. At Mount Sinai, they asked Moses to go up to deal with God. They were so afraid of God. When we come to Jesus, people could have a conversation with the temple of God. And today, after Pentecost, there is a spirit that has flowed into the church and into our lives that is attracting people and ushering them into the presence of God. Now, you know that when you delegate, some of you are business people, or you've had others working under you. And if you're a perfectionist, I'm not saying there's any perfectionists here, but I'm just saying, if you're a perfectionist, it really knocks you off your kilter to give them something to do. Are they going to do it right? Are they going to do it right? Are they going to get it done right? Or am I going to have to get in there? Well, God says, "You are my people now. You are my living temple, the living stone," as Peter says. Well, you know what happens, don't you? We can distort God's image because of our racism. We can distort what God is about. through our own lives, the mistakes we make, the things we get involved in, we can distort God to the people out there seeking God. And that's unsettling. The God who loves the world has dedicated his love through you to this world. And his final marching orders from Jesus are, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with us. And people see that, and I hope they're attracted to become followers of Christ. A famous Presbyterian, Frederick Buckner, he calls this the folly of God. And let me just read one small quote here from him. He says, to choose for his holy work the church in this world, full of lame brains, misfits, nitpickers, holier than thous, stuffed shirts, odd ducks, and egomaniacs. Is this the folly of God, to put it in our hands? No, it's not a folly. Paul says, and yet the foolishness of God is more than men. And God puts his ministry in our hands. Oh, I just regret sometimes how badly I have represented God in the world. I've made my mistakes. I'm probably one of those lame brains and misfits and odd ducks. Maybe you have too. I like to think, though, that the local church, you're on God's team. You are the new temple. Let me say two more things and then I'm done, okay? I promise, I'll sit down. Number one, I want to take an illustration of this right from the Bible. And number two, I want to take an illustration from everyday life. Let's take a look at the Bible. You know, it says here that we are the temple of God. And there's a big gap between the holiness of God and the holiness of men and women. And so this is a seismic change. Instead of a high priest representing all the people, we all step into the presence of God and represent him. Paul says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. When we choose wrongly, we literally subject God to what we have chosen. Now back to that Corinthian church. It was probably a Baptist church. In chapter 6, Paul is quite upset with them. I don't know why they did this, but the church hired some prostitutes. I don't know, that probably make headlines here in Nashville. Baptist church hires prostitutes. Paul says, don't you understand? Don't you understand? You are members of the body of Christ. And when you submit to prostitutes, you are submitting the body of Christ to the prostitutes too. And so he says, you are not here but to be members of Christ's body. Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with the prostitute? Goodness, no. God is holy. God is holy. Here's the second thing I want to say. Not only do we come across this in the Bible itself, in the New Testament, that we are the temple of God, but we come across it in our world today. When I first moved to Michigan in 1998, at the end of that first month, they had their state convention, and I went to that. About 200 churches gathered and celebrated our faith. And they gave out awards, and one of the awards was an evangelism award to the First Baptist Church of Cadillac, Michigan. Now, it's about a town of 15,000, 18,000 people, Cadillac, in western Michigan. And I was, what did they do? Well, I was told the pastor was a young man named John Kelly. And his church, old downtown church, had grown in numbers. It had grown in faith. It had grown in so many, many ways, making an impact in that community. But John wanted to make an impact that was Christ-like. And so John prayed about this for a year with his deacons. And they made the decision that across the street was a struggling Methodist church that was maybe going to go out of existence in 10, 12 years. And here's what John and his leaders decided. They would take 10 families from their church and share them full-time for 3 years with the Methodists. In other words, these people relocated. They became Methodists for 3 years, offering their enthusiasm, offering their talents, their gifts, offering their tithes and offerings for 3 years. It's about 40, 45 people, 10 couples. And it got the Methodists back going and alive and active. Now, I thought about that. I don't know about you, but that was one of the most selfless acts I had ever heard one church offering another. Beautiful, beautiful love and compassion. Because they looked at that church across the street, and they'd spent a century together on that block, and they gave of themselves because they understood that the church is not a building. By the way, I'm just very jealous about that basketball court. The church is more than a building. The church, it's the people. And it's God living in his people. And I dare say that what happened now 25 years ago in the city of Cadillac, Michigan, they'll be talking about that for another 25 or 30 years. Did you know that that church that was so successful gave of themselves to the needy group across the street and helped revitalize their ministry? Because we're all part of the body of Christ. All of us, we are one. And so it's a real privilege for me today to come and share God's word with you. Hopefully, Pastor will be getting well soon. But it's nice to share this with you. Three temples, Mount Zion, 900 years. Jesus, 33 years. The church, 2,000 years. And it's still growing, and it's still active, and it's changing people's lives. The church today is growing faster than any time in its history. In Africa and Asia, the church is going leaps and bounds, finding new disciples, because the temple are the people of God. Let's share a prayer together. Gracious God, we thank you that you honor us, that you call us to be your children, your family, your body, your temple. We are humbled by such a delegation. We are faithful. We want to live up to this calling. Whatever dreams this congregation has in the coming years, may they begin to find flesh and blood, even as they've found them in the last 10, 15 years. We pray for Pastor and that he will be healthy soon. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to come up here. I'm looking for my worship leader. Okay. Thank you, Reverend Anderson.
as we look into this Holy Week and we reflect and recall and commemorate the events that we think about, let's turn our thoughts to Calvary and the events that happened there. So if you would please stand with us. We're going to sing number 176 in the hymnal, Lead Me to Calvary.
From Melanie, prayers for Sarah Tuverson, the daughter of a former co-worker, collapsed suddenly, diagnosed with a rare heart condition, and has been intubated and sedated for over a week. Her family is asking for prayers that she be able to be weaned from the machines and regain consciousness. And then from Pastor Jason, he says, I like being there, or here, more than COVID. Thanks, Julie, Jennifer, and everyone else who has scrambled in my absence. And thank you, Maury, for preaching. I had one, I think he was a founding member of the church, Arnold Husky, passed away, and his funeral is today at Woodbine at 4. So just remember the Husky family. So are there other prayer requests? Larry.
Tommy Duggar. Here in the community for a long time. One of our older ones, Rose Abraham. He's having surgery tomorrow. Having trouble out with kidney stuff.
younger, is going to have surgery tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Yes.
Jason mentioned this last year, but not last week. I mean, but I'd like to bring it back up. The Bethel Cumberland Presbyterian Church in West Kentucky.
Yes.
Where the awning fell on that family. The young boy, 8 years old, is still in really bad shape. So that family continues to need our prayers. And that little boy, they've tried to wake him up, and that didn't, wake him up, I think. That didn't go well. I don't think it was waking him up. I think it was, they were trying to get him off of something.
Okay.
And it did not go well. So we need to keep that family. Mm-hmm.
I believe there's also a GoFundMe that I saw. So if anybody would like that, just let me or Jason know, and we'll get that information to you.
And that church is still getting repairs done for the various problems that it has. So prayers for the church and Drew Gray, who's their pastor.
Any others? Yes, ma'am. Happy
I just
to see
want
Ed.
To thank everyone for their prayers, their thoughts, the meals that you have given to us. It has been a true blessing. It's been about 6 weeks since Ed suffered his stroke. He is doing amazingly well, and he is being uncooperative, which means he's doing amazingly well. But I just, it's so heartwarming to be a member of his church. Where people have reached out to us, had us in our prayers, asked when they could bring me a meal, not asking me to call them. It is a true blessing. I never realized when I was outreach leader, the meal program that we kind of started, how much of a blessing that is, because when things are going really well, everything is great, but when you're having a bad day, it just gets worse and worse as the day goes on. So thank you all so much for your prayers, because it has meant everything.
We're happy to see you, and for sure to see Ed back in the pews with us. Yes.
Well, congratulations to my son Travis and his beautiful
yes.
bride Erica. Made it all the way to Minnesota and back to Tennessee and
it's still cold there this time of year. So yes, congratulations to Travis and Erica. So, and if you see the pictures online, gorgeous. So, and congratulations to you as well. As a, you have a new daughter.
Yeah.
Are there others? Yes.
Keep Adam in your prayer. He's having a tough time.
Bad Strasser, yes. Are there others? If not, we're going to have Dr. Morris.
Well, what a privilege to pray for the things we've talked about. And, you know, the sharing about your father and the meals and the prayers. It's when you got your back to the wall, it's when you know how precious God's people can be. So great to see you. And great to hear your testimony. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're gathered here once a week in worship and for prayers. Prayers for the people of God. And as we pray, we know, first of all, that there's just not a better place to go than to God with our prayers. And to share them in the name of Jesus. And to feel the presence of other folks we've known here, sometimes for decades, sometimes for a few years. But we're in this together with all of our Christian friends, praying and lifting up those who are sick, those who are going through therapy, those who are going through the loss of a loved one, those who are having a difficult time in business right now. All these concerns, these pressure points these tough roads, we can travel them together. We can pray for each other. We can talk and share ideas. We can share a meal. What a wonderful privilege to be a part of the temple of God in the world today. Living stones, ranged and preparing to carry the weight of the sorrows and the difficulties of life. These are special bricks here in this building. Some of them are living. And we are so thankful. And as we pray, let us offer up the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us all our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you do the benediction for us?
Yes. We're going to sing.
No more singing.
Well, let's offer up benediction then. Shall we all stand? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord grant you shalom peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.